Hello and welcome to the teaching podcast of Coastal Community Church, where our mission is to be love in Jesus Christ to the lost and found in our community. For more information about what Coastal is all about, visit sebastianchurch.com. Now please prepare your heart to receive whatever God may have for you in today's sermon.
Hallelujah. We're happy that you're here to worship with us. You guys can have a seat. Y'all were loud this morning. I loved it. You could hear the wall shaking with praise. So this is a great place to be, right? Great place to be. Thank you for inviting your friends. I see some new faces here. Always great to meet new people, especially here at church. And we are going to get started here with a new series about money and all God's people said. Amen. Hallelujah, yeah. So we're going to talk about money. And a lot of pastors, including me, we get insecure when we talk about money. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do it anyway. Because the Bible has 2,350 verses about money. So if I'm not talking about money, when I talk about the Bible, I'm kind of missing out on some important details. And money is the leading cause of divorce. And money has many attachments to mental illness. Some of you are like, hallelujah. You know, money can cause so much turmoil in our life. And money can destroy your joy and take away your sleep and make you frustrated with how your children spend it and all sorts of things like that. So we have to talk about money. And we don't talk about money so that I can get my jet airplane. You know, we were doing a work day yesterday, and I'm like, right here is where the landing or the helipad. You know, that's not for me. But we want to do God's work, and we want to do it without money yelling at us. And so, in order for us to do that as a church, we have to do that as individuals. We have to learn how to talk to our money because money is definitely talking to us. How many of you, when your kids are in trouble, how many of you, your kids start talking differently? Anybody? You know, like I got one that like you just set him off and he is now like, no. Okay, I'm like, calm down. It's 7 a.m. What do you have to be upset about? Okay. I don't want to feed and water the dogs, okay? I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but if you look over here where my children are sitting, you can probably identify which one. And because everybody's pointing, and anyway, let's move on. But I have one that gets kind of mumbly. You get that? Like they know they're in trouble, and so you're going to say, can you please do this? I'm like, quit your mumble rapping. We got work to do. Let's go. Let's do this, okay? I'm like, I can't understand what you say when you walk away muttering, and I'll just assume that you're saying, I love my daddy. He's so amazing. I'm just grateful that he teaches me good responsibility and discipline, you know? I just assume that's what they're saying. but I have to hear my kids. I want to listen, right? I want to hear what they say. And so I will make an effort, and I'll say, what did you say? And I don't think I get the answer always. What exactly they had to say, right? By the way, I like having kids in service. Like, it's okay. That means they're here, okay? So I'm going to try and make this as pain-free as possible, okay? I'm going to try and keep you guys interested. You guys feel free to be comfortable, okay? We are happy you're here. We have coastal kids, but not every kid is ready for that all the time, okay? So let's just be patient. I'll shout if they do, and you'll still be able to hear, okay? Okay, Luke chapter 16, verse 13 says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. This is dynamite right here. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Some of you, you're enslaved to money. Some of you are tired of it. Some of you are sick of it. Because the way money's been talking to you, you would never let your children to talk to you that way, right? The way your money has been sassing at you, you know, keeping you up at night, knocking on your brain's door, telling you things that aren't true. You would never tolerate that kind of behavior from your children. But you go ahead and endure it with your money. So money talks. A lot of times, It does that mumble rap thing that we just talked about. You don't want to hear what it has to say, right? Some of you have gotten accustomed to that. You're like, I don't need that kind of negativity. I'm going to tune out what money's saying, right? And that never works, by the way. That you temporarily, like on vacation, that's about the only time you can get away with that. And even then, you probably should listen, at least when planning out your budget. And sometimes, but what does your money say? Mine? Favorite thing, favorite saying my money says. Goodbye. It's just, she's always saying that. See ya. And it doesn't say see ya later. It's just it. See ya. And then just see ya later. Some of you are in situations where your money says insufficient funds. Your money says denied. Your money says zero balance. Okay, this is stuff that, you know, it's hard to hear. But you have to listen to your money. In fact, even more than listening to your money, the Bible has great instructions on how to handle our money, how to manage our money. And if we ignore them, our money will master us rather than us mastering our money. And so we have to decide, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna tell my money what to say. I'm gonna teach my money what to say. Just like I teach my kids not to mumble when they're mad at me. You know, let's talk, let's communicate clearly. Let's get a hold of our finances. Let's master our finances so that they stop having power over us in the middle of the night. Amen? So that's what we're gonna be talking about over the next few weeks. And if your money's been sassing you, make sure you get each and every session that we're gonna have over the next few series of sermons. So we need to become money masters instead of being mastered by money. Don't let your money talk to you like that. If you wanna stop allowing money to control everything, the Bible has the answers. So money is good. Can everybody say that? Money's good. Money's really good, especially when you have it, right? You wanna make a child's day, give them some money, right? Our kids are never happier than after grandma and grandpa, you know, they give them money. And then we go to Walmart and they're just like, it takes years, right? Because they got money and they'd stay there all day. I'm gonna spend my money this way, I'm gonna buy the water gun. No, I'm gonna buy the remote control helicopter. You're gonna destroy all these things in a few days anyway. What does it matter? But money. Money can make you happy. Money can steal your joy, but money is good. It's a blessing. It's a gift from God. He gave you the ability to make money. He gave you the ability to manage money. And so we're going to learn all about that this week, or this few weeks. So we're gonna talk about what money says about our budget, what our money says about our debt, what our money says about our savings, what our money says today about our worry, because a lot of times money, worry kind of go hand in hand. If you're like me, if not, like you need to preach. I wish you could have come first service and told me that, because I'd be having you up here, okay? Because money and worry for me, I get a little, this sermon is for me today. Because sometimes when I give money the wrong place in my life, money speaks through worry. And instead of money being a good thing, I'm always looking for the end of it. You ever been there? I'm always like, are we gonna make it? Do we have enough? How am I gonna pay for that? Oh goody, another hospital bill. You know, my kids will tell you, like, it's gotta be serious for dad to take you to the hospital because he's thinking about what is this gonna cost me? And then of course, Mason, who we adopted out of foster care, awesome. Wish I could do that with all the kids because you guys pay their healthcare, so thank you. But like, he gets a scratch, I'm like, let's go to the ER. The rest of the kids, I'm like, get back in. They're like bleeding out their eyeball. Come on, you walk it off. So it's not that bad, right? Maybe a little. So, listen, money doesn't need to have that kind of place in your life where it puts things above your family. And so worry does that to us. Worry puts money ahead of our family. So in fact, we're gonna talk about the different lies that we get from worry. Lie number one is money is more important than what money can't buy. Money is more important than what money can't buy. That's the lie. Because, and some of you are like, no, I don't believe that. We're at church. Of course you're gonna say that. You're gonna be like, no, money's just a tool. Money's what God gives us so that we can be a blessing to others. And no, money, you don't feel that way at the end of the month when you're struggling to get things paid. So let's be real about our money. Sometimes our money has a place that it shouldn't, and we allow our money to be more important than what money can't buy. When you worry about money, you're allowing money to say things that master you instead of the other way around. I wanna read Matthew chapter 6, and this is where we're gonna hang out. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 says, that's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? I'm really struggling today. Like, there was that song. What was that song? You are our God. And I was in like Luganda mode. I was shouting it to my daughter who really was not amused. But it was just, I know those words in Luganda. So I was like singing. And I don't know whether that like messed up my English now. I'm gonna hold on to that. So let's read it again. Matthew 6, 25. Maybe you guys could read with me and it'll sound better. And you just keep going if you lose me, okay? Verse 25, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Worry says freak out. Worry shouts at you at 2 a.m, freak out. And not the song. Now, it's not a dancey freak out. It's a light, world is ending. You're no longer gonna be able to survive, freak out. Work more, family less, date nights fewer. Go to church less, serve less, eliminate everything in your life so that you can work more and make more money. Jesus says there are more important things to give our lives to. Jesus says there are more important things than the things you're worrying about. Because there's some things that worry cannot buy. Worry makes me tired and self-absorbed. And when I engage in worry more, I engage in husbanding less. And when I engage in worry more, I engage in fathering less. And when I worry more, I engage in pastoring less. And when I worry more, I engage in whatever, fill in the blank. I'm no longer who I'm supposed to be because I'm just consumed with worry. I'm disengaged, I'm frozen, and I'm exactly, by the way, where the devil wants me to be. He wants us to be controlled by money. He wants us to be intimidated by money. But God has a different plan. Jesus says, you don't have to be like that. You don't have to allow worry about money or anything else to consume you. Proverbs 12:25 says, worry weighs a person down. You feel that? Yeah. Some of you walked in here weighed down. Don't walk out the same way. Leave it right here. And don't forget tomorrow where you put that worry. Don't forget tomorrow what Jesus said. Hey, I got this. Worry, lie number one, is money is more important than what money can't buy. Worry lie number two is you can be in control. I love to control things. Any other control freaks in here? Awesome. We call them leaders, okay? Right? If you're a little girl, we call them little girls, right? Just future leaders, current manipulators, right? They're just, daddy, daddy. You know, I'm like, someday you're gonna be a powerful woman, you know? And I'm like, what do you want, sweetie? And my wife's like, honey, she has you wrapped around her pinky and you are doing whatever she says. You need to parent her. And I'm like, she's just so cute. You know, look, we love to be in control, right? And there's a good side of that. Like when we get to lead and when we get to influence, some of us, we like to think that we're in control of our kids, right? I used to think that, you know, when my kids were little, like toddlers, like this age right here, they're just so sweet and cute. And, you know, you tell them to go there and they don't go there. You just pick them up and put them there, right? And it's, woo, I am a great parent, right? I'm a great parent. And then they turn 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. God help me. What have I done? I'm a horrible parent. How can I be a pastor and not be able to control my children, right? Yeah, good luck. You're not going to control your children. There are some things that worry will tell us we can control related to money. Like if you just work a little more, you can control this. If you work a little more, you won't have to suffer anymore. If you work a little more, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But worry can take us away from letting God be in control. And when we surrender to God the control that he already has, when we get it through our head that he really is in control, we don't need to worry as much because he's got this. Matthew 6 says it like this, verse 26. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in the barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And then there's another part. Can they add a single hair to your head? And I'm like, I wish they would. I think it's going the other way. And yeah, that's what happened to us. We worried. But we actually aren't in control as much as we think we are. That this is, by the way, this is not to say that you don't need to plan and you don't need to budget. We'll talk about that later. What this is saying that when you do everything that God's word says you're supposed to do with your money and stuff still happens, God will still be in charge. God will still be taking care of you. So worry says that I can control the unknown. Worry says that I'm gonna figure out, I'm gonna analyze and overanalyze and reanalyze, and then the next day do it again. And eventually I'll solve this problem, right? And then, by the way, just worriers, back me up after you analyze and solve that one. There's another worry right behind that. And then some of you are lucky enough, you're so blessed, you have multiple things to worry about all at the same time, right? And so you just worry about worrying then, right? And then just like you're just immobilized with worry. So go ahead and let go of control. Go ahead and commit to implement what God says about money and about every other area of our lives. Let go of control. Surrender. Here's the good news. For our worriers in the room, and I'm there, okay? I'm there. I told you this was for me. For the worriers in the room, there's good news. We are creative people. I mean, God created all of us to be creative, but those of us who are worriers, we are super creative because when everybody else is out celebrating, you know, how good life is, we're thinking of every possible horrible scenario. We are inventing and imagining. I mean, like when some of you, I'm not this bad, but some of you, when you see a hurricane get tracked, picked up right off the coast of Africa, you are already going through your mind, oh my goodness, this is gonna be horrible. My house will be decimated. You know, you're already thinking like it's already here. Okay, calm down, okay? But the good news is you were created to be great imaginative people. And so the problem is when money is mastering you and worry is talking through money, it gets your creativity gets hacked. Okay, the devil loves to hack into your creativity and start telling you stuff through worry that God designed your creativity to develop and design and make the world a better place. And so you begin using your imagination for bad, and God. And Jesus is actually saying, hey, you don't have to imagine the worst. God has some great things in store for you. Worry is a terrible use of your imagination. So when we go back to, when we worry, you know, we sort of disengage and we sort of get out of, when we feel out of control and then we try and get more control, we kind of get out of church life. We pull away from serving. We pull away from friendships. We pull away from the things that make us feel less in control. And so some of the difficult situations in your family, like some of you, because of worry, have moved yourself out of marriages, and some of you have moved yourself out of parenting because it's too dang hard, okay? It's hard. But I'm inviting you to pick that back up. I'm inviting you not to give worry that kind of power over your life. In fact, God designed community to breathe new life into us, not suck it out of us. And I know that there are some exceptions to this, and we may have experienced some, but I wanna tell you, like here at Coastal, like we constantly are finding new ways and reimagining and redeveloping ways so that we can connect in healthy ways with everybody, no matter where you're at, no matter how far you are from God. We want you to feel at home here. We want you to feel loved here. And our church, we do this. A lot of times people come in here, they're kind of new or they've never been to Coastal. We want you to get all the tools you need so that you can enjoy what God's intended the church for. And we do that through Growth Track. And I wanna just tell you, if you go to sebastianchurch.com/go, you can sign up for Growth Track right now. It's October 8th. We're gonna talk about what our church is all about. We're gonna talk about how you can learn more about who God created you to be and then plug into like what you were created to do and change the world. Like this is where worry begins to get stomped on and you move forward with what God's created you for. Do not allow worry to be that terrible use of your imagination. I wanna give you one more great thing about worriers, okay? Because it's me, so I didn't have trouble finding good things to talk about, right? Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the evidence of things hoped for. I'm supposed to read it because it's not in that translation. So let me, here. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. How many of you are really good about worrying about things that you cannot yet see? Like if you are watching online, I want to sympathize with you. There's some worriers in the room, but I know there's some worriers online too. And not warriors, but worriers. I'm a worrier too. Can you put that in the comments for me? I'll go back and look at it later and I'll feel better about myself. But the worry is evidence of our faith. Faith in the negative. Like we're believing in things unseen, worriers. We're believing in things that other people haven't even imagined yet. Now all we gotta do is allow our worry to be redeemed by Jesus, the Son of God. And that creative worry, that creative ability to see things that aren't yet in reality can be used for good. That is a powerful tool of faith. So worry lie number two, you can be in control. Worry lie number three is your worry can do more than your God. My effort is to get you out of here with shorter sermons over these next few weeks. Are you, amen? We're gonna talk about money, and in order for you not to tune it out prematurely, I'm committing to keep them on time. Are you guys good with that? You want me to go longer? Because I didn't hear anything, did I? 1 o'clock good for everybody? 2, do I? Okay, some of you need to wake up. All right, so worry lie number three. Your worry can do more than your God. Matthew 6:28-32 says, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Can you please just lean over and tell somebody that? He will certainly care for you. He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith, it says? So don't tell that one, okay? Maybe you need to, but we're not gonna hit people over the head today. Verse 31, so don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. What will we eat? Now, this is not talking about when your wife refuses to decide what restaurant she wants to eat at. And then she says, no, you pick. And then I say, restaurant name. And she says, no, I don't like that one. Okay? Like, it's not talking about that kind of worry. It's talking about, like, you don't have enough food to eat. Don't worry about that. I want to read a quote from Mahatma Gandhi. It says, "There's nothing that wastes the body like worry, and one who has faith should be ashamed to worry about anything whatsoever. There is no need for worry for a follower of Jesus." We're almost done, sorry. There is no need for worry if you know Jesus. Jesus says, "Look how good I take care of my garden of wildflowers." You know, you drive up the interstate, you know, north of here, and you start to see those wildflowers popping up, you know, or the beautiful fall leaves that maybe will come soon. And you just like, God's got control of all of that. It's kind of humbling. Your worry cannot do more than your God. God says I can be trusted more than your investments. I can be trusted more than your insurance policy. I can be trusted more than Jim Cantore at the National Weather Service. Okay, seriously. You know, Jim Cantore can be right here in Sebastian and we can still trust God more, okay? Your worry can never do more than your God. All right, number four. Some of you are like, wait, three. Usually do three, four. You get a bonus one. Bonus, worry lie number four. Worry increase leads to trouble decreased. Oh, I wish that were true. I'd have zero trouble. I'd have negative zero trouble. I'd be so like negative into trouble, like more trouble could come and there's already be a deficit of trouble. So then we just even out and I'd never have any trouble. That's not how worry works. Worry actually leads you into more trouble, leads you into more worry, leads you into more emotional duress, anxiety, etc. It doesn't take you out. It doesn't fix things, really. So I don't know why we keep doing it. But we do it because we don't believe enough that God's got this. Matthew 6:34 says, "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's gonna have lots of crap to deal with tomorrow. Isn't that so reassuring? Isn't that great? But that's the reality. That's the reality. Just embrace that reality. Okay, this day has trouble. Tomorrow's gonna have trouble too. And the day after that, there's gonna be trouble there. You're gonna do better if you just deal with the trouble that's in front of you today. Rather than compounding all that trouble and saying, "I'm not just gonna deal with the trouble today, I'm gonna prophesy trable for tomorrow. I'm gonna dream up what trouble I may have 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, 2 years from now. I'm gonna dream all that up and stuff that may never happen. Now I'm adding that trouble to today." So worry does not decrease your trouble, it increases it. But Matthew 6:33, Jesus says this, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." This is the verse for you today. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek it above money. Seek the kingdom of God, the things of God. Seek the kingdom of God above every other item in your life. And all the stuff you're worried about, God's got it under control. Doesn't mean you won't have problems. It means that in the midst of your problems, you can still know that God will redeem everything for his glory. So don't be anxious, don't be a worrier. Stop it, Seth, stop it. Instead, do what Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Instead of worrying, pray. Replace your worry with prayer. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. This is why we follow Jesus, so that we can have peace that no one else understands. Peace that guards our hearts and our minds. Peace that says, in spite of what money's shouting at you at two in the morning, I am with you. And I can give you peace in any storm. And so instead of worrying, I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna go to my God who gave me money, my God who gave me the skills to make money, my God who gave me all of my children, all my money suckers, I'm gonna trust that he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Don't tweet that part. He knows what he's doing. So we can pray to the one who gave us the money in the first place and trust that he knows the best thing to do with it. And so let's stop worry. Let's stop believing those lies that worry is telling us. You won't have enough. Scary things to hear when money talks and says you won't have enough. But there's another voice, the voice of Jesus, talking about money. And when he speaks, our worry disappears if we truly trust him. Won't you trust him today? Jesus, we come to you now. I'm gonna invite these people to give their worries to you, give the things they're worried about to you. And specifically as we talk about money, Lord, we give our finances to you. We dedicate our family's finances to you. We dedicate our medical debt and our difficult situations. We dedicate those, we surrender those to you. So there at your seat, this won't be one we ask for hands. This is you and God. Some of you are overwhelmed with money worries. I just wanna just take a moment at your seat, praying quietly to Jesus. Jesus, take away my worry. Take away my anxiety. Help me to master my money instead of the other way around. Help me to tell my money, shut up. Help me to tell my money what it should be saying. I don't know where you're at spiritually, but we're here to meet you there, wherever you're at, wherever you've come from, whatever baggage or trauma or difficulties that you've come from or whatever failures you've come from. Jesus loves you. And he doesn't just want to bless Pastor Seth with the way that he manages money. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you in spite of who you are and who I am. And so if you've never put your faith in Jesus, I invite you to do that today. Jesus, it's a money sermon, but I'm gonna put my faith in you. I'm gonna admit I'm not perfect. I'm gonna believe that you were perfect. You died for me. And I'm gonna commit to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know what your next step is. Maybe your next step is just saying, Jesus, this is my money, I'm gonna let go of it. Your next step may have been praying that prayer and deciding to follow Jesus. Your next step may be baptism. We just had one, and already there's been a few that have said, hey, I missed that. I wanna get baptized. Maybe that's you. Maybe for you, it's signing up for Growth Track or signing up to join a life group. This is how we grow as a church. This is how we grow, not wider, deeper as a community. So over the next few weeks, we're gonna be talking about debt and budget and whatever. You may have some friends that like, this may be just for them. Invite them here, I promise you. I promise you that I'm gonna handle them well. We're not gonna browbeat or talk about money maybe the way that you've seen TBN preachers talk about. I've abandoned my plans for the helipad. The advisory team says no. But God has a plan for your money. God has a purpose for everything, every challenge that's come into your life, and he will redeem it all if we just surrender to him.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you were blessed by today's teaching. We would love to connect with you, and here are some ways you can connect with us. You can submit a prayer request, find a life group, or check out some of the upcoming events at sebastianchurch.com/go. Join us here again for the next episode.